I am very blessed to be here to worship with Mimosa Lane Baptist Church. And whenever I tell people about Mimosa Lane Baptist Church, I always brag on Mimosa Lane Baptist Church. I do. I'm very proud to be associated with the Lord. Blessed me to get hired there. Amen. Yeah. And yeah, so my wife is happy. She's tired of me sitting around reading the Bible all day, you know, so, amen. So, of course, y'all can come up there and spend all your money real good. I won't hold it against you. But we are blessed to just be here. And I have an agenda this morning. That is, I feel led and called by the Lord to encourage us to pursue the Lord with all the energy and the passion that we can possibly muster. Repeat after me, please. Mediocrity is not for me. One more time. Mediocrity is not for me. Amen. Amen. You know, one of the things that fascinates me about us as God's people is that we tend to be mediocre. Everything we do is just kind of all right. Everything we do is just kind of okay. Here it is. We serve the God who created the heavens and the earth. He gave literally all that he had for us. He sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross for our sins and for the sins of the entire world. And all we are is mediocre. Mediocrity is unacceptable. That's just unacceptable. Whatever we do in life, we ought to do it to the glory of God. Whatever we do, we ought to do it to the fullest of our abilities. Whatever we put out, it should be our very best. A few years ago, when I was selling cars about 7 years ago, something like that, there was a lady that came to the dealership and she said, "You know, Al, I just can't figure out why my sales are so low and things are not working out for me." And I just told her, I said, "You know, ma'am, with all due respect, you lack passion. That's your problem. You don't have any passion. See, the rest of us walking around here, we are car nerds. Can I get a witness? You know how men are about cars. Ooh, look at that car." My wife is like, "Al, it's an engine with four wheels." "No, baby, it's a car. It's a Rolls Royce. It's a Corvette. You know, some cars, you don't even need a radio. All you need to do is listen to the exhaust system." Can I get a witness? That's right. Now, my wife thinks I'm crazy, and some of y'all think I'm crazy. But you understand what I mean. I said, "Ma'am, you got to have some passion." She said, "Al, I know, but I just don't really like cars." I said, "You know, that's not the problem. The problem is you don't have passion about yourself. You come to work, and your hair is barely done. You walk in the door, you got to go to the bathroom to put your lipstick on. Your clothes ain't pressed. Why in the world would somebody buy something from you? You got to have passion about yourself." Then my friend, her name is Patricia Thomas. Y'all pray for her. She's a Jehovah's Witness. She said, you know, I said, "It's just like Patricia." I said, "Patricia, come on over here. Show her how you sell cars." And the thing about Patricia, let me tell you something about Patricia. She sold more pickup trucks than anybody in that dealership. And what was fascinating about Patricia is she knew nothing about pickup trucks. Absolutely nothing. Let me show you how her sales presentation went. "Ooh, you know what, Mr. Customer? You're going to love this truck. It's awesome. It's beautiful. It's red. Ooh, look at the wheels on that truck. And look at this thing in the back of the pickup truck. Patricia, that's a bed liner. Whatever, just look at it." She couldn't even get the terms right, but that girl could sell some trucks. And when she started that, "Ooh, wee," and she started doing her hands like this, oh, it was over. That truck was gone. Do you hear me? Whoever that was did not have a chance. And that was the joke in the dealership. This girl, she knows absolutely nothing about trucks, but she sold more pickup trucks than anybody in that dealership. You got to have passion. What is it that drives you? What is it that wakes you up in the morning? Why in the world would somebody take a basketball, run down the basketball court, dribble between their legs, then jump up in the air and turn 360 degrees and dunk the ball into the basketball goal? Passion. Why would somebody take a football and run down the field and you know he's going to make the touchdown, right? He's about 2 inches away from the touchdown, and instead of just walking into the end zone, what he does is he jumps and he does a flip into the end zone. And he gets up with both arms in the air and he celebrates. I made it. Passion. And here we are, we serve the God of the universe. And we're just okay. We're just mediocre. I think about one of my favorite musicians. Now, granted, I have absolutely no musical talent. One of my favorite musicians that I like to watch perform is a guy that some of us have probably never heard of, a guy who played the guitar back in the 50s. His name was Chuck Berry. Oh, so you guys have heard of Chuck Berry, right? You know what I like about Chuck Berry? It's the way he performs. They show those black and white videos, and I don't even have to listen to the music. I just like to watch him, because this is what he would do. He would turn, and he would... Oh, y'all like that? Now somebody's going, man, just play the guitar. No, I just can't play the guitar. I've got to play passionately because I love what I do. Whatever God has called you to do, do it with everything that you have in you. Everything that you have in your soul, all the energy that you can muster. Passion. Passion is what drives people to excellence. I haven't read it yet, but a few years ago, Donald Trump wrote a book called The Art of the Deal. I think that's what it was called. That's one of the books I've got to get around to reading. We know Donald Trump likes to make money. But one of the things he talked about in an interview is what drives him to make money is the art of the deal. He loves the give and the take and all the stuff that goes along with that. He's passionate about what he does. So this morning, we want to talk about drive. Next slide, please. Drive is the intestinal fortitude produced by the emotional desire to achieve a stated goal or live for a meaningful purpose. You can tell I'm a PhD student, can't you? That's what drive is. Drive is what pushes you. Drive is what energizes you. I remember when I was a kid, I was on the wrestling team. Me and my younger brother, I have three brothers. I have one who's a year and a half younger than I am. And we were on the same wrestling team together. And every day at the end of practice, Coach Thompson, he used to have us do what we called a wrestle-off. Anybody ever familiar with that? Wrestle-off? Yeah. See, what that means is the guy who's in the smallest weight class, he goes up against the guy who's in the weight class above him. And then whoever wins that match goes up against the next guy in the next weight class. You know? My younger brother, he was in a smaller weight class than I was. And this particular day after wrestling practice, we had our wrestle-off. And like 9 times out of 10, I would beat him. He was no match for me. He was my younger brother. I mean, come on, right? But on this particular night, this guy got me on the mat and pinned me. He didn't just win. He pinned me. He humiliated me. And everybody had a good time teasing me about that. And I was thoroughly embarrassed, horribly humiliated. But then he turns around and he pins the guy above me. And the guy above me, above him. And after it was over, we asked, what in the world got into you? He said, I just made up my mind I was going to whoop all of y'all tonight. And he did. And then that weekend when we wrestled against the Lakewood YMCA, this is in Ohio, do you know he had the fastest pin time in his match? The fastest match was 28 seconds. You know, you get out there and you get in your little stands and the guy says, ready? Wrestle. 28 seconds. Match was over. Passion. Energy. Desire. That's what God expects us to have. Not just for his kingdom, not just for the gospel, but for everything that we do. Next slide, please. Here's another definition. Drive is simply one's motivation to win. Now notice this cartoon here. You got two guys, they're behind their desk. Notice what the caption says. This is, what do you think? Should we get started on that motivation research or not? Here they are kicking back, laying around. Well, I'm going to get started when you get started. No, I'm going to get started when you get started. Passion is what drives you. Motivation is what energizes you. You know, the number one characteristic about people who are champions, you know what the number one characteristic is? It's not their speed. It's not their stamina. It's not their strength or their skill set. There's one characteristic that you have to have if you're going to be a champion. You have to want to win. You got to want it. And the problem with a whole lot of us in our lives is we don't want it. Can I step on your toes a little bit? A lot of us in our American culture have failing marriages because we don't want the marriage to work. We want to be victims. Oh, he ain't doing me right. Oh, she's not giving me my respect. Well, man, get out there and earn her respect. Do what you did to encourage her to go out with you in the first place years ago. You got to want it. You can't sit around waiting on somebody to give it to you. No, 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 no. You have to want it to work. Next slide, please. Okay, so here's the big idea. Right? All this talk about passion and so forth. Here's the big idea. Next slide, please. Although God has given believers the victory through Christ Jesus, we must have the drive and passion to be more than conquerors in everyday life. In everyday life, God expects us to be more than conquerors. And we have to have the drive. I know you guys are tired of my sports metaphors, but hey, this is who I am. I am the stereotypical American male. I am. Praise the Lord. Thank you. That's right. The Lord knew what he was doing. He knew I was going to need some help this morning. That's right. That's right. Yeah. But passion is the thing that makes... Why in the world would you get out on a football field in the hot sun and play football? Why in the world would you get on that sweaty, nasty wrestling mat and roll around with somebody else? Passion. That's what it is. Matthew 5:13, this is what Jesus said. He said, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salt again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and be trampled by men. You know what that comes down to? Jesus was talking about passion. He was talking about drive. That's what he was talking about. Salt is a preservative. Jesus says, if the salt loses its ability to be salty, what do you have? If you lose your ability to be passionate about anything, then what is the purpose of life? Think about it. Why do people commit suicide? I would argue that at some point, somewhere in their lives, they lost their passion. We all need something to give us. We all need a reason to get out of bed every day. What is it that gives you a mind to wake up every morning? Passion, drive. Next slide, please. You see the caption, the picture there, salt there? The last line says, the ability to be salty is what we are referring to as drive. If I were preaching in a Pentecostal church, you know what I would say? The anointing. That's exactly right. God has anointed each and every one of us for a purpose in life. He has anointed you to be married to your spouse. He has anointed you to raise your children. He has anointed you to obey your parents. He has given you the ability to succeed in school. He expects you to not just survive, but thrive in the workplace. That's God's will. I can't wait to go to Saks Fifth Avenue. They have no idea who they hire. They don't. They really don't. I sat down, the lady says, you know, I think you'd be good for this company. I said, ma'am, I think you're right. She says, wait here, let me go get Gerald. Gerald comes in, he says, Alfred, I appreciate you coming in here. This is a high-end clothing store, and I know that you've never sold a suit for $2,000. I said, you got that right. But I can do it. He says, wait here. Let me go get Corey. So I'm going from one person to another person to another person. To make a long story short, I get the job. Because they could see the passion in me. The Lord put that in me. And let me tell you, I am the most inexperienced salesperson on that floor. But I promise you this, nobody in that store is going to have more character or more passion than Al Brown. Next slide, please. Here we go. Somebody read that, please, if you can see it, everybody together. What does it say? Poor thing. Exhausted. And we've all been there, haven't we? Maybe not necessarily with the books, but in the kitchen preparing the food or just playing the piano or the saxophone or the drums or the guitar. Randall standing up there getting on your nerves. Oh, you are here today. I'm sorry. Oops. Lord, forgive me. Right. Don't lose your drive. That's the one thing the devil wants you to do. Anybody ever in here have a box? No, no boxers in here? All right? Started boxing when I was 18 years old at what they call PAL, Police Athletic League, in Cleveland, Ohio. There was this guy by the name of Coach Caldwell, you know? And I'm in there, and I'm throwing lefts, rights, moving. He says, son, stop. He says, what are you doing? I said, I'm boxing. He says, no, you're not. You don't know what you're doing. He says, come here, let me talk to you. Do you know what the purpose of a fight is? I said, yeah, to knock the other guy out. He says, no, that's not what you're doing. What you want to do is you want to knock the fight out of the other guy. That's the object of the game. If you bob and weave and move enough, eventually he's going to get tired of swinging at you because he can't hit you. Then you've won the fight. If you hit him enough times, not hard enough, but enough times, you frustrate him to a point where he doesn't want to fight anymore. That's why boxing is a gentleman's sport. She's going, oh, no. I just can't see it. Oh, you got to give it a shot, Tracy. Come on now. Right. Don't knock until you try it. Yeah. But that's what the devil wants to do to each one of us. He wants to knock the fight out of you. Don't let him do that. That's where faith comes in. Okay, I'm tired right now. But I'm going to sit down and I'm going to get my win. And when I get my win, I'm going to get you. Don't lose your drive. Next slide, please. Oh, this guy, I just love this guy right here. Now, I want to be clear. I am not a cook. But I sure enough like to eat. Yes. This person on the screen is a very curious person. That may not be a good picture. But it's Anthony Bourdain. Anybody ever watch that show on the Cooking Channel? Love Anthony Bourdain. When I first started watching him, I thought to myself, this guy is the biggest jerk. He is. He's crude and rude. He says all kinds of nasty things about people and everything else. And I asked, why do I keep watching this show? Then it dawned on me, the reason why I watch the show is because the guy is so passionate about food. He's so passionate about culture. That what he does is he draws you in with this obsession that he has for the culinary experience. You and I are called by God to have the same kind of passion in life about the Lord Jesus, about our families, and about whatever it is that we do. We've not been called to be mediocre people. Because when you're passionate, you cannot be mediocre. It's not possible. The two do not go together. Next slide, please. Here we go. Danger zone. This is how we get in trouble. There are three danger zones in the loss of drive. Next slide, please. Here we go. If we lose our drive, we are good for nothing. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, if the salt has lost its ability to be salty, it is good for nothing. Jesus said that we are the salt of the earth. If we lose our ability to be salty, we're good for nothing. Nobody takes you seriously if you lose your saltiness. Nobody takes you seriously if you lose your drive, your motivation, your passion. Notice the picture there. It says, I'm useless. There's a sock there with stripes, and you may not be able to see it, but he's got a frown on his face because he's useless. Why is he useless? Because he doesn't have his mate. Who walks around with mixed max shots on? Can you believe they actually admitted it? Can you believe that? You know, there are some things you ought to just keep to yourself. You don't tell nobody. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I got more work than I thought I had to do. Okay, you're not supposed to walk around with Mitch. Oh, Lord. Next slide, please. Let's just move it along here. All right. Then Jesus said, thank you, Lord. Then Jesus said, if the salt loses its ability to be salty, number one, it's good for nothing. And secondly, it needs to be thrown out. A waste paper basket. A whole lot of us have thrown away our lives simply because we've lost our passion. We've lost our motivation. We've lost the energy for life. I don't know how many couples I've counseled who ended up in divorce court for that very reason. Well, Reverend, I just don't have no more energy to keep trying no more. Well, Pastor, I just can't see how it can work. Quit doing that. You realize God has called you to control your own passion? The Bible says that David got in a situation and he encouraged himself in the Lord. That's what the Lord has called us to do. Don't be a throwaway. No. You are the salt of the earth. That neighborhood you live in, you're the salt of that neighborhood. That job you got, you're the salt on that job. That school you go to, you're the salt at that school. Next slide, please. Thirdly, here we go. People without passion are stepped on. Isn't that true? We don't like to admit it, do we? When I was coming up, we played basketball, you know, pickup games. I don't know the term that people use here in Texas, but when you go to a basketball court and you play basketball, what you say is, at least in Cleveland, you say, "I got winners." And what that means is whatever team that's playing on the court now that wins, they get to stay on the court. Then I would choose four other guys, and we would get on the basketball court and play, and somebody would call winners after that game. In New York, they say next. You ever heard that term? I got next, right? Whenever you want to play basketball, and when somebody calls for the next game, you look around and you see who's available to play. You know who never gets picked to play on the basketball team? The guy who doesn't have any passion. It's not the guy who can't score or who can't block or who can't play defense. It's the guy who doesn't have any passion. We've all seen Michael Jordan and all those guys on TV talking trash to each other. You know what trash talk is? Passion personified. That's all it is. Now, I'm not telling you to go anywhere and talk a bunch of trash, because some of that is not godly. Let's be clear. Amen. Next slide, please. Solution. So what do we do about this? Right? You know the old expression? Don't cut me without giving me a Band-Aid, right? Next slide, please. Desire. Young people, make some noise. You guys know who that is, don't you? Who is that? Katniss. Yes, from the movie The Hunger Games. Yes, my daughters dragged me to the movie and made me watch it. It was a good film. And you know, and a couple of weeks ago, they had the Blockbuster DVD thing where you pre-order your DVD and then you go pick it up at midnight. We did that too. And you can tell by the sound of my voice, I had a great time with that. Yeah, all the passion there, right? And now we have to watch it over and over and over. I think DVDs are a curse. But the one thing that stood out about this character, Katniss, in this film, was that she had enough passion to win. Those of us who are not familiar with the movie The Hunger Games, it's basically a movie about class warfare, if you will, where these people who were poor people, they're chosen to participate in these games of death. And Katniss has a baby sister who was chosen to participate. Because Katniss was so passionately concerned about the welfare and the safety of her sister, she volunteered to go in her sister's place. And she won. If you and I are going to have drive, we have to have a desire to win. And nobody personifies that more in today's culture than the character Katniss from the Hunger Games. Next slide, please. Commitment. There you go, Randall. I'm sure last weekend when Randall went bungee jumping. Oh, you didn't? Okay, all right. Okay. All right. Now, I don't know if anything, you know, if you're going to do bungee jumping, you have to be committed to that. Either you're going to do it or you're not. There is no in between. You got to jump in. Whatever God has called you to do, jump in it. Go for it. My wife teases me. She says, Al, you got this all or nothing attitude. Baby, I can't help it. That's just the way I'm wired. You don't ever want me on your basketball team. You don't ever want me on your football team. Even volleyball. I promise you, you will hate me. Because I want to win. Let's go out here. Let's get these guys. Passion. Commitment. Next slide, please. Here we go. Destiny. Our destiny is to one day stand before our Heavenly Father. And it is our destiny to be judged by Almighty God based upon what we've done for Him. A whole lot of us haven't done anything, not because we're incompetent, not because we don't have the skill set, but simply because we don't care. You gotta care. It is our destiny to be hope for all nations here at Mimosa Lane Baptist Church. It's not something we're doing because it's cool. It is our destiny. And I know what you're thinking, Al, it's just so difficult to bring people from different ethnicities together. Well, you know what? If it was easy, everybody would be doing it. It is our destiny. This is God's will. One day we're going to have to stand before Him and answer for our passion or lack thereof. Jesus was so passionate about His cause that He literally died on Calvary's cross. If we don't learn anything else from Jesus, we learn that we've got to be passionate people. We've got to have drive. Everything about us. God bless you. Thank you for your time. Let's pray. Most gracious and most eternal God, we thank You for this wonderful privilege that we have to worship You in spirit and in truth. We ask, O Lord, that You'd watch over our pastor and his lovely wife. We ask, O Lord, that You would bless us here at Mimosa Lane to passionately pursue Your purpose for our lives. In Jesus' name, for His sake, amen.